I have a little test that I want to do, and it's not a pass-fail test in the sense of, it's just one of those things that you either know it or you don't. And so I'm gonna say something, and for those of you that know, I just want you to go ahead and say what you're supposed to say after the fact. And again, some of you will have no idea what this is at all, and some of you, it will be like riding a bike. It will just be perfect. So get ready and just say it out loud. God is good. Nailed it. So now some of you are like, what is happening? We'll do it. God is good all the time. Yeah. So if for those of you that maybe didn't grow up in church or didn't grow up in a church like I grew up in, there's this phrase that you sometimes would use, and it's God is good, and then you repeat all the time, and then the preacher says all the time, and then you repeat God is good. It's a fun little thing that we used to do back in the day at different churches. So let's all play together. This is, you didn't know that you were, some of you had no idea you were gonna learn something at church. You haven't learned something at church for years. This is your week. So excited for you. You're gonna learn something brand new today. So we're all gonna, I say God is good, and then you say all the time, and then I say all the time, and you say God is good. Are you ready? I believe in you. God is good. Nailed it. All the time. That is exactly right. And that's what we're talking about today. We've been in this series called The Fruit of the Spirit. And we're learning how that God develops this fruit inside of us. And today we're talking about goodness. And we're talking that God's goodness, how good he is, can actually be developed in our life. Some of you at your house or at your parents' house or at your grandparents' house, no doubt, have some decorative fruit. And it's fruit that you have to dust from time to time, and sometimes you forget to dust it, and people come over and they look at it and say, well, that's not quite exactly what I thought it was going to be like because it's dusty, it's not real. And it is pretty, decorative fruit is pretty, but it's not that helpful. And you know that it's not nutritious, it doesn't satisfy anybody. And the fruit of the Spirit, what Paul is kind of getting at is that on the outside, we can look really good, we can look really flashy, and we can do the things, but if we don't let God produce real, genuine fruit in us. I mean, from the outside, maybe we look okay and we've got it together, but on the inside, we're not that helpful as Christians. That God wants us to be not just these placeholder fruits that are nice to look at, but you know, at a closer inspection, it's not really much of anything, but we're real fruit, that God is developing something inside of us. And so the Apostle Paul, when he's kind of explaining this idea in Galatians chapter 5, he says that the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that's developed by being connected to God, every week we've been looking at a new one, love, joy, peace, patience. Last week we talked about kindness and goodness. And so what we've said this week is that, yeah, God is good all the time God is good. And what God wants to do in his kindness to us is develop what he already is inside of us. What we've been saying in this series is the fruit of the Spirit is not something that we lean into and really like work really hard to develop. What we lean into is just relationship with God. And over again this morning, you're going to hear me say the word trust. That what we lean into this morning is that the more that we trust God, the more that we follow God, and the more we're willing to do what God says, even if in the moment it doesn't make sense or it's uncomfortable. But it all starts from a place of believing. I think God is good. I think God has a good plan for my life. And because he has a good plan for my life, I'm going to trust him, even though from my perspective, maybe I don't exactly understand everything. So just to give us an understanding of what we're all talking about so that we're all on the same page. Last week, we talked about kindness. And kindness is what we do. And goodness, what we're going to talk about today, is who we are becoming. It's kind of this character that God is developing in us. And there is a part that we play in this, as we're going to discover this morning. But it ultimately comes down to, as we read the New Testament over and over again, Jesus invites his people, I just want you to follow me. I want you to follow me, because as you follow me, what you're going to discover is that I really am good. I really do have a good plan for your life, and I really do want to bring you to a place that's for your best. Even in the moment, might be uncomfortable. Even sometimes it might be a challenge, even though you might not understand it from this point. Going forward, if you'll just follow me because you believe that I'm good, good things will come your way. It might not be things that I necessarily wanted, but God will produce in us that goodness that he wants. And now, some of us, depending on what type of tradition that you grew up in, church tradition or denomination, or maybe you didn't grow up at all, part of what preachers and people like me sometimes the big emphasis that we put on following Jesus is following the rules. Sometimes we emphasize, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, make sure you are, make sure you're never, don't ever do this, don't look that way, don't. And that can be something that pushes people away from relationship with God because you think, well, it's just a set of rules, and I don't really want to follow the rules. I'm not even sure what the point of the rules are. But again, as we look at the New Testament, what Jesus describes a relationship with him, he just over and over again says, I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me. And if you will start with follow me, are there some rules? Yep, there sure are. But that's not the starting place. If you start with my relationship with God is just a series of rules that I have to follow, you might do it okay, but it's gonna be really discouraging. You might be able to tick off the boxes, I did this and I didn't do that, but there's no life there. There's no joy there because there's no relationship there. What Jesus invites is, I want you to be in relationship with me. And as you're in relationship with me, I am gonna lead you away from some things. I'm gonna lead you to some things, but that's not the starting point. The starting point is recognizing I have a Heavenly Father who loves me. He is good. And because he's calling me to this, that must mean that this direction that he's calling me to is the better off for me, that it is my best interest to follow him. And in a relationship, if you're married, today I'm celebrating, what a gift. I'm celebrating 17 years of being married to Brandy. And it's been the greatest 17 years. Oh, here we go. Yeah. I've never been clapped for at church before, but this is a great thing. 17 years. But here's what Brandy and I have never done. 17 years. Not planning on starting it today. We've never given each other a list of rules. We've never said, okay, Kyle, you're never allowed to cheat on me. Okay, got it. And I don't ever wake up in the morning and say, okay, what list of rules does Brandy have for me? Okay, don't cheat. Got it. I got to work really hard. It's not a set of rules. It's a relationship. And because I love Brandy and because I want to be connected to Brandy, guess what? There are some things that I don't do. There's some places that I avoid. There's some areas of you know, just life that I say, this wouldn't honor Brandy. But that's not the starting point. The starting point of my relationship with Brandy is I love Brandy. And because I love Brandy, automatically, just naturally, there are some things that I do and there's some things that I don't do. And so in our life as a Christian, it's the same thing. That God never intended for you to just be a rule follower. That if your idea of God is just following the rules, well, there's no life. It can get really discouraging and it can wear you out. And all of a sudden you wake up and say, I'm not sure I really want to do this anymore. I'm not sure. I'm doing all the right things, but it doesn't seem like sometimes the right things are happening to me. And I see my friends who are not doing the right thing, and their life seems to be better, in fact. It seems like they don't have any consequences, and I wish I was doing that. And so it can just be really, really discouraging. And so what we want to try to get to today is that God wants to develop goodness, that he wants you to develop this life of yes, living in a good way, living, following some rules and doing some things, and he wants to develop some things. But it starts with, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust that God is good all of the time. And when I trust that God is good, I follow him, and following him, I develop that goodness in my life. And so this morning, what I want to try to do is just, again, to try to explain to us all together, and I'm not perfect at this, I'm still working on this myself, but how when we start with trust and how we follow Jesus, that goodness develops in us, and what happens in our life as that goodness is developed. We have a part to play, and God will grow it inside of us. And so if you want to follow along this morning, there's just three that I want to share with you. There's more than this, but just three transformations that happen inside of us, that happen inside all of us, if we will allow God's goodness to be developed. Goodness, number one, is this. Goodness moves us from external compliance to internal delight. External compliance means I'll do it because I have to, but I don't really want to. I'll do it because that's just what we do, but I do it with kind of this is just, what a hassle. I don't really want to be doing this, but I think God's gonna get me if I don't, or I think God's out to, I'll just do it. And there's just, you've had your kids do that. If you're a parent, your kids have done things just because they didn't want to get grounded. And it's, you know, they're just going through the motions. And when God develops that goodness in us, it's that internal delight. It's that transition that says, well, of course this is what I'm gonna do. Of course this is how I'm gonna live. Naturally, this is what I'll do because I believe God's good and I'm following him and I trust him. And because he is good and I trust him, I'm going to follow in what he's called me to do. And so if he's telling me avoid this or he's telling me to lean into this, of course I'm going to do that. What else would I do? He's good. It's an internal delight. Psalms 119, the longest chapter in all of the Bible, says this: teach me, Lord, the meaning of your statutes, and I'll always keep them. So many of us, we start exactly right here. We say, okay, I want to follow Jesus. I want to lean into my faith. And so, Lord, show me what to do. Show me the yes and the no. Show me the right things and the wrong things. Show me the things that I can do and I can't do. And that's fine. There, again, in the Christian life, in following Jesus, are there some things that we do and things that we don't do? Yes. But if your whole mode of operation is, I just want to be a rule keeper, you'll follow the rules really well, but you'll miss out on relationship. And relationship is the key. Relationship is the thing that starts, and because I'm in relationship, I follow into something. And so I start with, yeah, teach me. What is the right thing? What is the wrong thing? Which direction should I go? Which direction should I go? Help me to understand, goes on. Helps me to understand your instruction, and I will obey it, and I'm going to follow it with my whole heart. That I'm going to make sure that, man, every little part of me is following you because what? You're good. I trust you, and so I'm going to follow you. I don't understand why I shouldn't do this or why I should do this or why is my conscience kind of saying, hey, move in a different direction, but I trust you. You're good. You've got a plan for my life. You've taught me, and so with my whole heart, I'm just going to follow you. Help me to stay on the path of your commands. Why? Well, I take pleasure in it. Have you ever thought about what God calls you to do as something that you can take pleasure in? It's a totally different perspective than thou shalt and thou shalt not and you better and don't ever and hey, get this right and don't ever do this. This psalmist said, I take pleasure in it. Of course that's what I want to do. Of course this is the way that it should go. For some of you that have kids, you've taught your kids how to ride a bike. And it's what a wonderful experience. I've taught 3 kids how to ride a bike, and it's just so much fun. It's so fun to see the development. And as you're teaching them to ride the bike, you're kind of teaching them the rules, right? You're saying, hey, don't look backwards. Kind of keep you, don't overcorrect. Keep pedaling. Stay consistent. Well, you're teaching them some rules, because here's what you know, that if they will develop riding it the right way, there's a lot of delight on the other end. And all of a sudden, a light switch flips in their brain. And all of a sudden, they're not so focused on the rules. They're just focused on, I just love riding this bike. I'm following the rules because if I don't follow the rules, man, I'm going to crash in the ditch. And I'm going to get stickers all over me and I'm going to have to get stitches. And it's all chaos. But I'm just delighting in, this is great. What a fun thing to ride a bike. I'm not focused on all the rules. I'm obeying the rules because if I don't, I'm going to kind of crash and burn. But it's just a delight. And that's what I think God wants for our life, is that we say, yeah, there are some things that I don't do as a Christian. Some places I don't go. There's some words that I don't say. There's some websites I don't visit. There's some conversations I don't have. There's some things that I do and don't do because I am a Christian. But that's not my main focus. My main focus, I have this delight in following God. God is good all of the time. And because God is good, I'm going to trust that what he says is right, and I just take delight. It's not external compliance. It's internal. Yeah, of course, this is what I'm going to do. Jesus knows that the more we follow, the more that we're going to trust. And the more that we trust, the more that we naturally are going to delight in doing things and not doing things. And so then we move into not just this internal delight, but then there's this other transformation that takes place, is that goodness moves us from situational ethics, that's kind of a strange kind of phrase, to godly character. We've all been in this place. Situational ethic means that I'll do the right thing if somebody's watching. And all of us have been in this place where everybody knows how to be good sometimes. Everybody knows that if somebody's looking over my shoulder or if I think I'm going to get caught, then I'm going to do the right thing. But then when I don't think I'm going to get caught and when nobody's looking and maybe it's not that big of a deal, I can kind of cut the corner. I can get into this little bit of a gray area. Again, when eyes are on us, yeah, we do the right thing. But what about when no one's going to find out? What about when no one's watching? How do I live then? when goodness is developed in us, the way that I am in public is the way that I am in private. The way that I am when somebody's watching is the same way that I am when nobody's watching. The person that I am in front of everybody is the same person that I am when I'm just by myself. It's the goodness of God that's developed in us. The real test comes. The real test comes not when everybody's watching how you're going to do it. The real test of is God developing his goodness in us, and am I really trusting, and am I really following, and am I really letting his work be developed in me, is nobody's ever going to find out. It's all this thing that, yeah, I could do this and I could get away from it. I know it's not the best. I know it's not. What do I do then? What's the decision that I make then? That's the shortcut to understanding, is God developing this goodness inside of me or not? And it's developed character, and you know this. Character is developed over time. Nobody wakes up in the morning and has this extraordinary character. It's developed small decision after small decision, little decision that isn't that big of a deal after little decision. You've heard the story for yourself, Daniel in the lion's den. What a great story. It's in Daniel chapter 6, if you ever want to read the whole thing. I don't know if you know the story before the story, though. Everybody knows that Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. The reason that he did is that these governors and these leaders, they wanted to be the guy, but the king was kind of looking at Daniel as the person that was going to be in charge, and they decided, we got to throw him off. We cannot let Daniel be the guy that is in charge of everything. I wanted to be in charge. And so he said, we're going to set a trap for him. And so they went and they talked to the king and they said, hey, make sure that nobody prays to anybody but you. And if anybody prays to anybody but you, they're to be put to death. And all this chaos. And I love Daniel chapter 6, verse number 5. It says this, it shows us the difference between situational ethics, and it's just saying, man, at all the time I'm choosing, this is what God wants me to do. It's that godly character. Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. The administrators and the satraps, that's just the kind of the governors or the leaders of that area. Therefore, they kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom, but they could find no charge or corruption because he had character. He was trustworthy, and there was no negligence or no corruption was found in him. Now, before we go to the next verse, I just wonder if people started to dig into my life, if people started to dig into your life, what would they say? What would they say? Well, there's some corruption, or what, behind closed doors, they're like this, and when nobody's watching, this is kind of the life they live. Or would we be like Dan, who developed that character, and says, I just can't find any charge against him. Verse number 5 says it this way. These men says, we're never going to find a charge against this Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God. And so they made the rule, nobody gets to pray to the king. Nobody can pray to anybody except the king. We're going to skip down a couple verses. Daniel, he said, this isn't going to work for me. Verse number 10. But Daniel learned the document had been signed, the document that said if you pray to anybody but the king, you're going to be put to death. He went into his house, at the windows in it upstairs open towards Jerusalem, and 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed and gave thanks to his God. Here's our word. Just as he had done before. You see, Daniel's faithful prayer, it wasn't born in a crisis. The Daniel's ability to stand up under pressure was not born in the moment. It was little decision after little decision that God built his character. When nobody's watching, Daniel prayed. When nobody cared, Daniel was in his room, opened the windows, prayed. When nobody cared about whatever Daniel was doing, Daniel made the choice ahead of time, this is the type of person I'm going to be. And then when the crisis came, when the pressure was on, what did Daniel lean on? I lean on, this is who I am. This is what I've done every day up to this point, and this is what I'm going to do in the future. This is what I've done when there's no pressure, and this is who I'm going to be when the pressure is on. When the threat of death came towards Daniel, that was no time for him to develop character. You can't develop character in the heat of the moment. When the heat of the moment comes, all that happens is you fall towards the character that you've developed up to that point. Character is developed when nobody's looking. Character is developed when there's no pressure. Character is developed when there's no consequences. Character is developed when you could go either way. But when you decide, I'm having godly character and not just situational ethics, that when nobody's looking, this is who I am, and when everybody's looking, this is who I am. It's built day after day after day, ordinary moment after ordinary moment, little obedience after little obedience, choosing to say yes to God when it doesn't seem like it's going to matter, choosing to say that I'm going to follow God when it doesn't seem like it's going to be that big of a deal. That's what Daniel did. That's what God's called us to do, because we know at some point or another, there's going to be some pressure. Some point or another, there's going to be some chaos. At some point or another, there's going to be this tension of what type of person am I going to be in this moment? And you can't develop character then. The only thing you can do then is fall back on the character that you developed up to that point. So here's the question that you should ask for yourself. How is your character? I know what character we kind of put in front of everybody, but have you allowed the goodness of God to be developed in your life? Have you, when nobody's watching, made the right choices? Have you, when it doesn't seem like the stakes are that big, and you hear that little voice of God saying, this is what I want you to do, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be that big of a deal, in those moments, what are you choosing? Because those little moments are what's building the foundation of your character. It's those little choices that develops that fruit of goodness in your life. And the character that you're building now, well, it's going to be the character that has to sustain you when the pressure's on. And the pressure's coming. Pressure is going to find you. Pressure is going to find me. And you have had to decide ahead of time, this is the type of person that I'm going to be. This is the type of life that I'm going to live. God's called me to something, and I'm going to do it. Yeah, hey, nobody's ever going to find out if you don't. I'm still going to let goodness, the goodness of God, be developed inside of me. Yeah, but it's probably not that big of a deal. I mean, it's just a little bit of deception. It's just a little bit of a gray area. I'm not sure, is it really that I'm going to let goodness be developed in me, because one of these days it is going to be a big deal. One of these days the pressure is going to be on, and I want to fall back on a character that is developed. So that looks like doing the right thing at work when nobody's watching. It means, man, how do I handle small disagreements? It means that I create space during the week for God to be able to speak and God to be able to work, that I don't rely on my faith that's built only on a Sunday morning from 10:15 to 11:15. I let God develop that life inside of me day after day, decision after decision, week after week. And then when the pressure comes, there's godly character that's developed in me. Crisis, it doesn't create character, but it will reveal it. And we've all seen plenty of people that crisis comes and their character wasn't up to the task. They got onto a, and for some people, it wasn't even a crisis. For some people, it was a promotion. They got higher and higher and more eyes and more eyes and more eyes, and they didn't develop character when nobody's watching. And they get to the top, and boy, their life just kind of blows up. Why? Character. Situational ethics will not carry you through a crisis. Godly character will. Here's the beautiful thing about being a person that in the little moment says, yes, I want the goodness of God to be developed in me. When we let God's goodness shape me, here's what happens. We start to care way more about what God thinks than what people thinks. We start to think about, when God whispers to us, move in this direction. When God speaks to us, avoid that. When God speaks to us, I don't want you to be involved in that. More and more and more, as that goodness of God has developed in me, that fruit of goodness has developed in me, I start to be more aware of what does God think about this and what do people think about this? And I lean towards what does God think about these decisions as opposed to what does my family think, or what do my coworkers think, or what do my neighbors think, or what do my friends think? There's the third transformation, and it's this. Is that goodness moves us from people-pleasing to God-pleasing. This is sometimes difficult for me because I'm kind of a people-pleaser. I want everybody to like me. I want everybody to be okay. Are you okay? Everybody think? I like that. I like the no-conflict zone. And so sometimes it's difficult for me to lean into this. This is an area that God is growing inside of me. But when God develops that goodness inside of me, just like when he develops it inside of you, you'll start to be way more aware of what does God think than what do people think. It's really easy to live our life based on what's everybody else doing and what does everybody else think, and these guys are all doing this and they're all going this direction. But when the goodness of God, when I trust God, and when I'm listening to God, when I'm tuned into God, and I'm choosing that internal delight instead of I'm just going to just grit my teeth and do it even though I don't want to, internal delight, when I'm developing godly character in those little moments, all of a sudden when I hear that, I say, God, and even if nobody else thinks this is the right thing, because you've said it, because I trust you, because I believe you're good and you're developing something inside of me, I'm going in your direction. I'm going to follow you. There's this great line, though none go with me, I'm going to follow. Even if I'm following by myself, this is what I'm going to do because the goodness of God is being developed inside of me. There's this great story in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John are preaching, and there's this threat against them. Hey, if you don't quit preaching, we're going to kill you. And it's this crazy tension because Peter and John, they're in the exact same city that just weeks ago killed Jesus. They watched it happen. They're preaching to the exact same people who put Jesus to death. The exact same place, exact same people. Peter and John are preaching. The guys say, do not do this, or the same thing that happened to Jesus is going to happen to you. Chapter 4, verse 17. But so this does not spread any further among the people, let's threaten them, Peter and John, against speaking to anyone in this name, the name of Jesus, again. And so they called for them and they ordered them, don't do this. Can't preach anymore. We've had enough. Ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And again, just to give us some context, they're talking about more than just this little slap on the wrist. They're talking about more than just, hey, we really would prefer. These are the same people that crucified Jesus. They're talking to the same people that brutally, brutally beat Jesus. This is the context that's happening. Don't do this. And Peter and John answered them. Goodness was developed. They cared more about what God thinks than what people thought. Whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you or to God, you decide. So, you know, there's these other translations that says, we can't do what you want us to do because in order to do what you want us to do, we're not doing what God wants us to do. And so we are going to follow what God says and we're just going to put it into his hands. And so goodness, when God has developed goodness inside of us, it's that same idea. Yeah, people might not like it. People might not like the stand that you take. People might not understand, why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you going this direction? What does God think? What does God think about this decision that I'm going to make? They weren't trying to make a statement. They weren't trying to be heroes. They just couldn't help to speak about what they had seen and what they'd heard. This is what God had called them to do. And they said, I think God's good. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to put my life in his hands. And if you don't like it, sorry about it, but God, this is what God has called me to do. And when God develops goodness in you, the same will be true. Some of us are so worried, and I get caught in this, so worried about what other people think. What do people think if you don't accept that invitation? What do people think if you don't lean into that opportunity? What are people going to think when you start living a different life and start avoiding some things or leaning into some things? People might think some things, but better question, what does God think? If God's whispering to you about moving into this direction or going this way or stopping some things, what does God want me to do? Whether it's right in the sight of God, that's what I'm going to do. They go on and say, we're just unable to stop speaking about what we have seen or heard. God wants to speak to you. God wants to lead you. God has called you. Hey, just follow me. Because the more that you follow me, the more that you're going to recognize that I am good. The more that you're going to trust me and the more that you're going to be willing to, when you hear that still small voice saying, go this direction, stop, slow down, speed up, don't do this, you'll move to that. Yeah, of course I'm going to do that. That's what God wants me to do. It must be for my good. And it'll be more than just when other eyes are on me, I'm going to do it because I want godly character to be built. And ultimately, my life is going to be lived for the audience of one. I'm going to live, what does God call me to do? We move away from what do people think to what does God think? And hey, what does God think matters more than, man, I might lose some of the respect of some people. And maybe I'm honest, even though it's going to cost me something. When following God's lead, maybe doesn't make sense to everybody else. What does God think? They'd simply, Peter and John, here's what had happened. They had simply spent so much time with Jesus that they could not help but reflect his goodness. That's what I want for me, and that's what I want for you. That you just spent so much time getting into a relationship of following Jesus that goodness is developed inside of you. And it cost him something. By the way, Peter and John's story is not a fairy tale story that ended well. You know what happened? They ended up dying. Like, the following God does not immediately help us to avoid all the consequences of doing that. Sometimes there are consequences because of following God. Maybe you don't get the promotion. Maybe you do get left out. Maybe you don't get the invitation. Peter and John were eventually killed because that they made this decision. But don't you think when they got to heaven, don't you think that God said, well done, well done. And it was, Peter and John would say, it was worth it. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. That, yeah, there is a cost to following Jesus. That it's not all roses and fairy tales. There's a cost. But it'll be worth it in the end. That when we allow the goodness of God to be developed, and maybe it's not in this life, but at the end, when we stand face to face to that Heavenly Father that we followed in the good times and the bad, I want so much for him to say, well done. Well done. You made it. We cannot help but live out the goodness that God grows in us. God wants to develop it inside of us. But it starts by, I'm going to trust that God is good. I'm going to trust that he knows better. I'm going to trust that he really does love me. I'm going to trust that he really does have a plan and a purpose for my life. And so I'm going to do what God calls me to do, even if it disappoints somebody. I'm going to do what God calls me to do even when it's difficult. I'm going to do what God calls me to do even if I have to do it on my own. Yeah, they might not understand, and I might miss out on some opportunities, but I'm going to be able to look back, and I'm going to be able to stand with my head held high knowing that I did what God called me to do, and at the end of the day, that's what's most important. And when the goodness of God is developed in our lives, those decisions, they become clearer. They don't become easier. There's still some tension there, but it just becomes clear. Goodness, character is developed in me. What God has called me to do is becoming more clear, and so I'm just able to more fully lean into it. This is what God's called me to do. This is what I'm going to do. The Apostle Paul called it fruit. Why? Because fruit just naturally grows when conditions are right. Just naturally grows. And when you choose to take God at his word, God is good, that he is faithful, that he does see beyond what I see, and I lean into following him, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. It's developed. Why? Because I'm just following. I'm following him. Fruit never strains. Fruit never works to be produced. Fruit just stays connected to him. And so, I'll be done today. When that goodness is developed in our life, what happens? We move from following rules to finding the light. We move from just occasional decisions to lasting character. And we move from seeking others' approval to resting in God's. Which of these three areas this morning do you need to focus on the most this week? Are you content in your relationship with God that you're just a rule follower? Are you a good rule follower, but that the relationship with God isn't really present? Just going through the motions, Jesus is inviting you, hey, follow me. See how good I am. See how faithful I am. Are you in a place where if you're honest, you do the right things when people are watching, but behind closed doors, you're a little bit of a different person? Behind closed doors, you're trying to make sure that nobody finds out. It's a little bit gray. God wants to develop character in you. Why? Because crisis comes. Pressure is put on. And I want you to be able to lean on the character that you've developed in the easy moments, when the hard moment comes, and then this is mine. Are you too worried about what other people think? Are you focused on following somebody else or the current of culture instead of following what God has called you to do? I need goodness developed in my life. And my guess is that you do too. The good news is that God wants to do it. And it starts by trusting and following him. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you grow fruit in us. So this week we are asking that we would once again recognize just how good you are. You are good all of the time. And because you're good, we want to follow you. We need to follow you. You have the best plans for us. And so, Lord, I'm praying for those that are in that tension right now, that they know what you're calling them to do, but the world just pulls them to something else. They know what you are calling them to start or calling them to stop, but there's other voices that are so strong and so loud. Lord, I'm praying that we would know you are good and you are trustworthy. And so I'm going to lean in to you. I'm going to lean into what you've called me to do, and we're going to let that fruit of goodness be developed in our life. Lord, would you develop character in us when nobody's watching, so that when the pressure is on, when chaos might hit, that we will be able to fall back on that. Help us to do what we need to do with this message. Give us the faith to do it and give us the courage to do it. Thank you for your Spirit's voice in us this week, that this is the way. Walk in us. This is the way. Walk in it. Help us this week to listen and obey that voice. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.